This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. In Atlantic Canada, find us on your TV, Bell Alliant, Channel 66, and Bell customers around Canada, we're on Channel 49. Visit AMI.ca/schedules for a list of channel locations in your area. Leslie DePoe, in our previous segment, before we let her go, gave us so much amazing information. She also had some resources that you can find if you want to get kind of accurate information on the vaccines, the processes, what's going on, and get those opinions out there that are, you know, telling you the whole story. You can check those out via our blog, AMI.ca/KellyCo, for those pieces of information. Ramya Muthan, Kelly McDonald, we're the hosts of Kelly & Company. Thanks for being with us.
Well, every other Wednesday, we like to talk independent living, and usually Leanne Barta joins us, but filling in for her for the next couple weeks is one of her friends, Mary Stiparge, certified vision rehabilitation specialist, or therapist, sorry, in Kingston, Ontario. And she's here to kind of break a few things down for us and talk about quite a few things when it comes to independent living. Mary, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, guys. Great to be here. Thank you.
Great to have you on, and I'm really excited about today's conversation. But before we get started on that, the topic of the day, you want to tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been in the field?
Sure. So I've been in the vision loss rehab field for 11 years, and I'm someone who was born with vision impairment. So I walk alongside my clients oftentimes because I live this life too, right? So I have vision impairment from birth, and I have something called optic nerve atrophy. So I have very low vision. And that's, you know, a little bit of an intro there. But a little bit about me. And I work out of our Kingston office.
We've had you on the program before. And really glad to have you back on the show. Can we start when we talk about with the experience you've had and being able to walk alongside with the clients, which is so important on the relatability piece? Can we talk about moving forward when we're feeling stuck, when people come to you with circumstances, how, you know, and they're saying, hey, I feel really stuck. What approach do you use when it comes to independent living with them?
Well, I think, Kelly, sometimes people don't even know how to articulate that because it's very embarrassing to say to people, especially when they've come out of an eye appointment and the doctor says, you know, you can use this app. I've heard you can use this thing. And they just show them quickly and off you go.
Right.
It's very hard to, you know, everybody, you know, has their own experiences in this same field, but to say to someone, I, you know, I don't know how to do that, but also to really give up that, it's giving up a lot of your own control, right, and space, right, to let people into what you're incapable of doing.
Yeah. Do they feel vulnerable, do you think? Like, I mean, obviously you are. You feel that way because you don't know. But is that one of the most dominating things to get around when dealing with them, that they feel so vulnerable, they're frightened, and almost want to reject things because, well, I don't know what I'm doing?
That too, and a lot of times people don't know what they don't see. So for example, I always tell clients, and sometimes the fact that I am visually impaired, I think sometimes it helps because people then tell me things that they wouldn't tell other sighted people.
Right, due to relatability.
You know, come to them and make suggestions, right? But the thing too is that sometimes when we are visually impaired, we don't know what we're not seeing. So for example, if we're having trouble with peripheral vision loss or even acuity loss over, and things change over our lifetime, right? And other eye conditions may come in, or we might have some other underlying conditions, and we might not know what we're not seeing. And often I always tell clients that, you know, I didn't know how visually impaired I was until I started working in the field. So it's one of those where you have to sort of break the ice with people and sort of talk about a little bit of the nitty gritty in life. And I find people, you know, sometimes new staff will say, you know, how do I start talking to somebody about these issues? You know, you can't just say to someone, hey, are you independent? You know, nobody, you know, will answer that question, right? So often I start talking a little bit about, you know, two things which we all have to be aware of is food and money. You know, how are you paying your bills? How are you handling money? And that opens up a whole conversation about how are you getting your groceries? How are you doing those things? And people then start to really, you know, open up about, because those are things that, you know, unfortunately we tend to relinquish to others in our world, right? Whether it's parents when we're younger that do things for us, or as we get older, people often in relationships will allow the spouse to do X, Y, Z. And then when circumstances change or when they move, you know, we find ourselves alone and really have trouble accomplishing a task because we've never been shown how to do it or that we can do it, given those skills. Sometimes we call them blindness-specific skills, and they really are. They're skills that we need to take the time to learn. And give us that time to learn, right? Allow yourself to take the time to learn.
Yes, because there's many people, as you're saying with other parts of this conversation, there's many people who don't even realize what's available, what's accessible, what it's like to do independent banking. And, you know, we could be so far ahead and be talking about accessible apps and things like that, or putting in your earphones to use a bank machine. But if you absolutely have relinquished that part of yourself, the financial part of yourself, to somebody else, and they're the ones kind of crunching numbers for you or knowing what's in your bank account, or let alone having your own bank account, those are the preliminary conversations that we're missing out with people.
And sometimes too, Remy, I think it's sometimes it's within families. Sometimes people say, you know, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And for years, sure, you know, we might have allowed someone to do it. And, you know, it is annoying to have to go to the bank and have to stand in line. And it is easier in some respects to allow someone to do it. But in other respects, once you, so for example, I often talk about how the first, you know, I always talk about, well, we need to, as visually impaired people, just like anybody else, still need to carry a little bit of cash, right? We like to all say we swipe, you know, I swipe my credit card all the time. It's a lot easier. I tap it. I don't have to think too much. But at the same time, I always say to people, it's nice to have, and it's very important to have some cash on us. And that understanding of how to tell your bills apart tactually, right, and not having to rely on a device, because what if your device isn't working? You have to have those that moment, pardon me, to take the time to really understand how to have money, where to keep it, where to identify it, and, you know for yourself that, you know, your deposits happen on such a date and how much money you have in your account.
Same with your bills too. Like, a lot of time people don't really pay attention to when that money is going to come out. They get dinged with that little, you know, interest charge or whatever. I also wonder, when it comes to, you know, you learn your bank machines, which is tough for somebody sometimes to, because there's no real standard, and hopefully, luckily enough, you have that earbud, you can listen to the machine to know, but it's even creating your own budget and keeping track of it, Marisa. I'm sure that's a difficulty for a lot of people.
I think it's also, as Kelly, as you're saying, It's being unaware, right?
Right, right.
A lot of us were never shown, before working in this world. I taught high school economics for a year way back when I was teaching high school, and there was a little section on budgeting, but not much. And a lot of people, you know, don't talk about money. They don't talk in families about budgets. They don't talk about retirement. You know, one day we'll all be older. We have to think about money. We have to think about how much does one need for a budget for the month, right? My monthly rent might be a lot more than someone else's. You know, understanding and taking the time to really go through that. But also I think it's also a part with individuals when we really talk about it together is that taking the time to go on an off time in the evening or with a friend to the bank machine and just listen to the options. You really take the time to listen to what's happening in your account, and even getting used to the old school way of phone banking, calling that 800 number and listening to how much is in your account. That really makes you really aware again of what's in the account. And you can do a lot of things now by voice with TD, Bank of Montreal, and know how much is in those accounts and transfer funds.
And keeping it private. I think when you say that nobody talks about the budget, talks about, hey, you know, you want to put money away for a rainy day or house things, like, a lot of us get so defensive, especially if we're not doing it. We're not necessarily sure how to do it or how to watch our money. And even if you do give up some of that control because you need people to help you with your checks or whatever it might be, or reading your bills if you're in that situation and you're not so savvy with the online banking or the phone. Mary, so I can imagine so many of these conversations don't happen even in families because everybody feels, well, it's not anyone's business, or I don't want to pry into your business. But yet we're very quick with a comment. Oh, my goodness, you spent the money on that?
Yeah, sometimes too, people don't even tell individuals what's going on with their money. So often I'll have to talk about how, Are you aware of what's happening? Have you signed over power of attorney to this person? Or because sometimes, you know, a person might not even be aware of what's going on and who's looking at all these papers at their place, who's in and out. If you have someone coming to your place and helping with home care, and then somebody else who's coming to clean. Again, it's all those questions around privacy too. And I often give clients the example of I have someone I like to come and clean at my place, and I make sure when she comes that there's no money around and there's no private statements. It's not a question of not trusting others. It's a question of knowing yourself and knowing where things are. And that there are certain things in life that are private, and, you know, people don't need to know how much your Visa bill is, how much your bank account statements are, right? So it's a bit of that discussion around privacy, but also as visually impaired people, we all, you know, relinquish something to others. For some of us, it might be cooking, right? If I don't feel like cooking much, I'll just wait till someone makes me a meal. Right. But money is that example where I find it really breaks the ice in discussions and then goes on to other topics. But I really think money is a really important one to come back to often because it affects all of us.
Definitely. And it's one of those things, because we keep talking about the control and power, it's also something that makes you feel empowered to have that consciousness over your money and how to handle it and transfer things or just manage your own bank accounts, or even something simple like identifying your own cash, right? All and being able to go to a bank machine and use it independently. These are things that make us feel like we're literally on the same page as everybody else because everybody's dealing with money. So when you have that power, go from, I don't know, your parent or guardian to your partner or spouse, it's something that you may never understand how much power it gives you to be able to handle your own money unless you start doing it and taking the baby steps.
And to add to that, I think it's always important to really build up your network of visually impaired and blind friends. In this world, we all meet people that are visually impaired over a lifetime and through different events. And sometimes those are the people you can count on and talk to and say, you know, I don't know how to do that. Can you explain to me what you're doing?
Almost like having a mentor, right? That person that helps guide you through. And we'll have different ones based on different things.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, Kelly might call up someone that he wants to chat about something while, you know, you might not want to talk to him about other things, but it's that network of people that know what you're going through, but also might say, I'm really struggling now. Things are really bad. And often when we hit that, a little bit of a a change in life, right? Whether it's, you know, sometimes we're confronted by a breakup, by a ending of a situation, and all of a sudden we really feel paralyzed by, you know, fear. How am I going to move forward? How am I going to pay this mortgage on my own? How am I going to handle all this? And it's that I often say to clients, who are your friends in your community? Who do you talk to about these things? Because there are certain people that can really understand, but also can point you in a direction, right? They've been through that part, especially if they've lost vision and are on the other side of things, or, you know, might be more of a techie than you are, or might be, you know, a traveler, more comfortable traveling than you are. And sometimes having those people around to just talk to, it really helps to say, you know, can you tell me how you learned this and maybe, you know, how I can do that? I think having that network of blind friends really helps people in all aspects.
Yeah. And in an extension of that, Maurice, the network of people you have in the financial field as well. If you can get a hold of someone who knows their stuff about disability-specific finances, we talk about the Registered Disability Savings Plan a lot here on the show and how difficult it is to just walk into a bank and talk to someone about that, because not everybody has the expertise to talk about the RDSP or the disability tax credit. And so when you have people in your network that you can build who have expertise around that, that also really helps. And I mean, not everyone's there yet. They should be, in my opinion. It's really important that we really take care of that side of our finances too. But if you're not there yet, those kind of things are really beneficial as well.
And I think that, yep, I'll end there. It's really important.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say we are ready to wrap up at this point, but it was so nice speaking with you. And I'm glad that we get one more chance with you for now while you're filling in for Leanne Barta. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great 2 weeks.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Maurice.
Bye. We were speaking with Maurice Tabarge, Certified Vision Rehabilitation Therapist in Kingston, Ontario.
Love the openness and honesty with that. Folks, we're going to wrap up the show, see what's coming up on our program, and now with Dave Brown right after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.